Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Hi, who is this, Batya?
Uh-huh. Okay. No one's coming on yet.
Okay. Are we the only two on right now?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mute my phone then.
Okay. I'll mute it. Mute.
Judy?
Hey.
Hey.
Ruby's on.
Huh?
So we're three. Well, I shouldn't count us.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Anabakoa. Gedula Jemima Tati Tsa Alapa Gimel Yutta Sadi.
I got it.
Kabelinat Amcha Tsagrenu Tsahare. The letters of the month of Adar, the Kuf, and the Gimel. Nagibor, Dorshe, Lucha, Yerba, Now that we have created, we need to separate the negative system from the positive system, and we do that with the 13 attributes. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apain Veral Chesed Vemet. No se chesed la'alafim, no se avon. Eretz, no se... No se... One of those days, please forgive me. I'll be right back. No se chesed v'la'alafim, no se Yahwan. Vafeta vechata avinake. Now we're going to read, sing the 8 verses we sing daily, starting with 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Baraka kohanim ha'zulim 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 et kol ha'olot v'yehastum achehem ha'levim Ad kilot amlacha yad yisadju hakohanim yihalevim yishrei levav yadikadesh mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we can permute it into 8 names of God. Adonai Yehovah Wahe, La Wahe, Wah Wah Wah, Yolaya, Alame, Hey Hey Hey, Aka Aleka. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu Adonai Yehovah Wahe, Asiyad. Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Urolamim. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo Ishemini Lotani. First Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Mikol, Sham, Wichayim, Yeshno, Varets, Vichy, Pasti. O to b'kol alfei Yehuda. Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegel olam netzach yoved roav yomru ayo. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom leami li Yisrael. Untati vushakan Tavta vilo yirgaz Od vilo yosifu Vene avla la'anoto Ka'asher barishona. And the 8th verse is a verse from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu V'yachta L'shem Yudhe Bavalte V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Koranei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Koraneihu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Taninan Dikudsha Berichu Koma Diaved Le'ela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Beovada dikshot velet lach mila bialma divae barnash ledachaya leya mineya ulam haga beya kilana tehakulhu ovada dikshot Inun Wekola Itzterich Be Alma. The translation. Rabbi Abba said, in many places we have learned that whatever the Holy One, blessed be He, does, above or below, is all true, and His works are true, His actions are true, and there is nothing in the world that man needs to reject or find despicable, for all are works of truth, and are all needed in the world. What this verse is saying is what we happens to us is always good. It may not feel good. We may interpret it as really painful and uncomfortable, but it is actually for our good that we are experiencing these things. And the sooner that we recognize that and stop complaining about the world isn't right, my life isn't right, the sooner we're going to grow to the place of spirituality where we no longer have to experience these painful aspects. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Does anybody have any questions? Today's class is a class that was planned to have last Sunday. But for whatever reason, we didn't have the class last Sunday, so we're doing it tonight. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom, or actually, you can find the handout on any of the Yeshem pages. On the right-hand side, below the two pictures, there's a link called Unique Astrological Events, or Unique Astrological Times. When you click on that link, it opens up to a page. And when you scroll down to a link that says Shabbat Shekalim, the donation of the half shekel, the mechatzit ha-shekel. This discussion, this class, is explaining the maftir from last Shabbat. It's a very important maftir. It's a very important Torah reading. When you click on the link below Shabbat Shekelim, you open up to a page that is the preparations for the holidays that run from Zion Adar through Purim, through the first 13 days of Nisan, through Passover, Pesach, through the counting of the Omer, and ultimately culminating in Shavuot, the gift of the Torah, a 90-day period. The class that I'm asking you to open up from this page is the first one where it says preparation for Purim, and then underneath it there's the class Kabbalistic preparation for the spring and summer holiday. And then a second link, which is class two. Click on the first link. And when you find that page, it opens up to the Purim to Shavuot time period, and then we eventually need to scroll down I'm sorry. I was prepared for doing this on Sunday, and I've lost track of it. So let me find out where the link is that will get you. On the Unique Astrological Times page, when you click on the Shabbat Shekelim, that's the handout for tonight's class. Shabbat Shekelim is one of the four special Shabbatot leading up to the holiday of Pesach. Shabbat Shekelim is the first of the four, and these four follow in a chronological order that makes very logical sense, as we will explain as we reach them. It has a special Haftorah and a special Maftir, and the regular reading, regular Parashah, and we read this past Shabbat. It's always read on the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, or Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet in leap years, which is this year. The Maftir is five verses from Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16. I'm going to read you the five verses, but in their translation. And Hashem spoke unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, according to their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Hashem. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 geraz, half a shekel for an offering to Hashem. Everyone that passes along among them that are numbered from 20 years old and upward shall give the offering of Hashem. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. When they give the offering of Hashem to make atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money from the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before Hashem, to make atonement for your souls. Now, that's the traditional translation. Let's look at another translation. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, if one takes from the heads of the children of Israel a ransom, one must count the ransom for his soul, that each man gives to Hashem to ransom his soul, that there not be a plague among them. Whenever you count them, they shall give everyone that will be connected to the light a half shekel of the holy shekel. The shekel is 20 geraz, a half shekel for an offering to Hashem. Every clean one connected to the light over the age of 20 will give Hashem's offering. The important one shall not give more, and the lacking one shall not give less than this half shekel. When making Hashem's contribution, which is a request to forgive their nefesh, their soul. And you shall accept the request for forgiveness money from the children of Israel, and use it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a remembrance for the children of Israel before Hashem to request forgiveness for your souls. My commentary. This translation should help you answer the question asked in the email that I sent out that year, if it will be necessary to continue the half shekel donation after the third temple is revealed. Will we still need forgiveness? Will we still need to redeem our souls? The answer is yes. The Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. During the temple times on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there would be an announcement, reminder, to donate your half shekel to the temple. This money was to be used as an annual census, as well as used towards the temple maintenance. Today, there is a Kabbalistic minhag to donate to your favorite email writer or Kabbalah website the equivalent amount in today's dollars. That is, this year, while it says $17, it's actually $15 for this year because the price of silver has declined. This money was a requirement during temple times to be donated prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the anniversary of the dedication of the first temple. What is the spiritual reason behind this half shekel? There are actually two questions that must be asked in order to understand the spiritual reasons. Question one and its corollary, why is the amount a half shekel? And then, why can someone not give more than a half shekel? Let me answer the second question first. The usual answer given to this question is that we are all equal in the eyes of Hashem. Of course, this is true, yet there is a deeper understanding than the surface level of these words. Hashem created all of us to reveal his light. Therefore, in the eyes of Hashem, equal means revealing his light. It is not limited to the American understanding of equal being equal under the law, or the limited meaning of equal being equal right to pursue happiness. In the eyes of Hashem, equal means reaching the level where the pursuit of happiness is the effect of happiness. When we reach the level of loving the process, we reach the answer to the other question of why it's a half shekel. A shekel is born of gerah. Gerah is a root that means to initiate, to stimulate, to encourage, and to provoke. In money, a gerah stimulates additional money. This is why in the physical world it is said that money makes money. A gerah is the smallest coin in the money of the Torah. Smallness implies a lessening of the ego, which allows a greater connection to the Creator. A half a shekel is 10 gerah. Book number 10 represents the level of the 10 sefirot, which are not 10, but a unity of one. A half shekel leads to a full shekel. It is a hinting that if one is leading to another, there can be in unity among the two. And also a half shekel teaches that we must lead ourselves to help the other half of the shekel. We must realize that we are not alone. We must realize that we are not the most important, that only by being in unity do we become important. There is me and there is you, or there is me and there is Hashem, since each person is a channel and a tool of Hashem, except for myself. My ego of being half a shekel keeps me from being united with Hashem. Of course, when I unify with another by sharing, I become unified with them, which makes me unified with Hashem. This is the idea of unity within the diversity of the creation. In a Dar Bet of 5774, 2 years ago, I added this section. A question that also needs to be added from the reading of the Maftir is, what is the meaning of a Shekel HaKodesh, a holy shekel? To answer this question, we need to truly understand the concept of money. You are going to find this discussion very interesting. The meaning of money. We all know that many people find money an item that they worship, as in a avodah zarah, idol worship. In that sense, it is not a good thing. People make money the item of pursuit. They desire money for its own sake, not for what they can do with it in the form of sharing. King Solomon said, and money answers everything. Since it does not seem to buy happiness or enjoyment, we must ask what King Solomon means. In Hebrew, money is kesef, spelled kaf samach pei, so feet. Kesef, the Talmud tells us, is a coin system. Today it includes banknotes and wire transfers as well. This coin system is a medium of exchange created by a government and supported by the people. If the kesef loses the support of the people, we get a new government, chas v'shalom. This has happened many times in history. The coin called the holy shekel is created by Hashem and will never lose the support of the people. Actually, the money in the Torah is indexed to silver. Today, a holy shekel has the value of 8 grams of silver. Below, we will see the relationship from kesef to silver, from money to silver. Historically, money includes silver coins alongside gold coins. The Talmud discusses the exchange of money for goods. In that discussion, the Aramaic terms used are currency or money, teva'a, and goods, tira. Literally, the word for goods is the word for fruits. The Talmud asks the question, when one exchanges gold coins for silver coins, or vice versa, which is the money and which is the goods? The answer is gold is the goods, and silver is money. On a physical level, this is why the shekel is made from silver. As King Solomon said, money answers everything. This is the concept of trade, where a monetary value is put on everything. Therefore, a medium of exchange is created. If someone wants something and is willing to pay for it at the number of coins, a market is created. It is interesting to note that in Gematria, the word for coin plus the word for fruit is equal to the word for chaos. This, in my opinion, is the meaning of King Solomon's statement. Money answers everything, going round and round to create chaos. Kabbalah teaches that silver is chesed, or loving kindness, while gold is giburah, judgment. A spiritual person has a desire for loving kindness over judgment, we have been taught. This is the spiritual reason for kesef to be made from silver. Since the desire for loving kindness is money, while the desire for physical goods brings us to judgment. Of course, a human soul cannot be bought. Yet Hashem in his mercy allows us to atone, to redeem with a half shekel of silver. This half shekel being 10 gerah represents the creation of a completed structure of loving kindness. Chesed with 10 levels or the 10 sephirot. This is why we continue to donate the half shekel, even while the temple appears to be destroyed. This donation connects us to the loving kindness of Hashem. Since Hashem is perfect, and his nature is loving kindness or sharing. In practice, the Ashkenazim follow the practice of mourning for the temple and do not avail themselves of this mitzvah. The Sephardim do donate the half shekel. The present value of a half shekel, 8 grams of silver in that year was approaching $22, but now it's about $7 or $8. And the additional tzedakah is why there's a $15 charge for the redeeming of your soul with the donation of this half shekel. Yet in the interest of a merchant, we discount this to $15 so as to entice some people to donate their tzedakah to this practice and help themselves. It is the common practice to make this donation prior to Purim. Of course, it can be made any time prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you are reading this after Purim and before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we at Hayeshem will still do this ritual of raising the 5 silver coins, one for each world from Malchut to Keter, 5 times. The result is we are connecting or reconnecting this ritual or allowing Yeshem to do so by making the discounted tzedakah of $15 per person. Just send us the person's name and his parents' name. And here is my address if you want to send a check, or you can call me with your credit card number. Or you can send a donation through PayPal. You may include children and grandchildren in this process because while the Maftir was talking about the times when the temple was in existence, the children and the grandchildren will be aware of the rebuilding of the temple. The children and the grandchildren have their souls counted, just like people do. And wherever there is a counting, blessings cannot rest. And as we will discover later in our reading, this teaching of the half shekel, this ritual of the half shekel, is a way of removing the limitations that people have put upon us, that we have put upon ourselves by being counted. The donation to the temple allows me to become unified with Hashem because the effect of these donations improves the physical structure of the temple. And you and your children and your grandchildren will be alive and well when the third temple appears, whether from this lifetime or a future lifetime. But everyone will be there, and the donation of the half shekel in anticipation of the need of the temple to be kept up to date will redeem all of these souls. It's a spiritual action, but it's highly recommended from the Kabbalists. The reason appears to be separate, but it is really the same reason. Nisan is the new year of the kings, and for most people this means that they started to count the year of the reigns of a king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This relates to someone being elevated to being king in Israel in the month of Adar. The king would start his second year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even if he had not completed a full 12 months in what was called his first year. This is one of the reasons that the historical classification and calculations of years is so complex. This is how the half shekel relates to Nisan. Now see how it relates to Purim below. In the Megillah Esther, the revelation of the concealed Haman paid 10,000 golden shekels. Let me rephrase that so it's more clear. In the Megillah Esther, which translates as the revelation of the concealed, Haman paid 10,000 golden shekels in order for his plan to kill all the Jews be approved by King Ahasuerus. Later, the Megillah hints that Mordechai found it necessary to bribe the king to send out the protection plan. The Midrash teaches that this payment was made from the half shekels that the Sephardic community made during the time of Esther and Purim. And they still make this half shekel donation today. Also, the Midrash explains that the mistake that the Jews made that caused Haman's plan to be accepted in the upper worlds was going to that 6 months of partying where Ahasuerus took out his spoils of war, like the clothing of the high priest from the temple and the other items like the menorah and the table. By not objecting to these displays, they incurred the death penalty. And by using the half shekel donation, they atoned for their mistake and returned to Hashem. And that is what we will be doing, providing you make this half shekel donation. And on the night of Purim, I will perform the ritual for each person's name, for each person's soul. The Haftorah is in Kings, 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17 to chapter 12, verse 17. In the scrolls of the prophets, this is essentially two paragraphs. The simple story has included within it a change in the way the half shekel offering was collected and accounted for. Additional information from this year's study in preparation for the half shekel donation. From the Zohar, section 40, verse 387, and I will just read the translation. Please use, Rabbi Yosef said, the tip of the scale stands in the middle. Its portent may be found in the verse, in weight or in measuring, in which, in weight, the Hebrew word is mishkal, means that the tongue of the scales is in the middle, because the scales are just. This is the secret of what is written. After the shekel of the sanctuary, and the scales that weigh and the mochin are set upon at the point in the middle. And he answers, this is according to what is written, just balances, meaning that justice is weighed by them. And all the mochin are established by this weight after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Rabbi Yehuda said that the phrase, after the shekel of the sanctuary, literally the holy shekel, is an allusion to the spirit of holiness. my commentary about this verse. This first hints to the half shekel offering. Since this offering has the purpose of redeeming the soul to create holiness, the offering is the half shekel, which is a hint to us to realize that we are never alone. Hashem is always with us, and also that we need other people to learn and to help in our spiritual correction. We also learn from the half shekel that redemption of our souls depends on others to inject the consciousness of holiness. Now the question has arisen whether to say a blessing when I do the half shekel Kabbalistic ritual. And a remarkable thing happened on the way to the temple. With the imminent restoration of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of giving a holy half shekel, the question arises, what blessing do you say when you give the half shekel? He asked high and low and found that no one knew a blessing. We set out to find the answer, and several weeks ago were rewarded with the teachings of the Rashba from the 13th century, which informed us that indeed there is no blessing recited. Okay, we said, although I had personally felt there should be a blessing, as it is the fulfillment of a Torah mitzvah in and of itself. So we posted our findings and announced that no blessing is to be recited. And we did not stop searching. We went back another 100 years, and what do we find? Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar in the 12th century teaches that we do make a blessing, and he even brings down its text. Now the good stuff starts. We will have to extract the Pesach Din, a halakhic ruling from today's Rabbanim, informing us of which opinion is the accepted one. Do we make a blessing or not? Perhaps prior to the rebuilding of the temple we don't, but once it stands, we will make a blessing. Or perhaps the fulfillment of the mitzvah is fully carried out in its giving, thereby allowing for a blessing even prior to rebuilding the temple. Stay tuned. My commentary. Whenever there is a machloket, an argument for the sake of truth of heaven, the halakha is to not say a blessing, and that is what we do now in the Kabbalistic minhag, because there's a disagreement among the sages. But we have five opinions. The Rashba says we don't say a blessing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar says we do. The Chacham Tzvi for Trumat Chalishka says we do. The Sefer Zicharon Eliezer says we don't. The Sefer Shem Shimon says we don't. Ultimately, we do not at this time. Perhaps when the temple returns, the Mashiach will teach us the blessing. Here's some information in the permutation of the word Machashit HaShekel. The Hebrew name for the half shekel offering is Machashit HaShekel, and you can see the Hebrew. When we permute the word Machashit, we get a middle letter, which is the Tzadi, which balances the name of Hashem, Yud and He, from the word Met, which means death. This allows us to translate this word, Machashit, which means half, as the Tzadik stands between life and death. And this is what we are doing with our half shekel donation. The word shekel can be translated as a passion of the light. because the word kel, kuf lamed, means, it's a name of God, it means light, since God is light. And the shin represents fire, represents passion. What we learn from this discussion is that by giving machatzit ha-shekel, we bring the passion of the light to assist the tzaddik to stand against death and to promote life. And this is one of the major reasons that it is so important to make the half shekel offering. Can the half shekel offering be given when the temple is destroyed? This is a response to this question by Arav Yisrael Ariel from the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. The response is, it is widely known that after the destruction of the first temple, the Jews returning from Babylonia, upon reaching the country, rebuilt the altar and offered sacrifices up on it for 22 years before the temple was actually rebuilt and dedicated. The question arises, how did the Babylonian returnees contribute the machatzit ha-shekel? And how did they bring sacrifices for the altar for the second temple had not yet been rebuilt? And the mitzvot of shekelim can only be fulfilled in the presence of the temple. However, the halakha rules without dispute that sacrifices are offered up even when the temple itself is in ruins. As Rabbi Yehoshua is quoted in the Talmud, I heard that sacrifices are offered up, though there is no temple. And as Maimonides adduces in his Hilchot Bet HaBitirah, in light of this halakha, it can be understood why Second Temple officials collected the machatzit ha-shekel from the returnees as they arrived, rebuilt an altar, and offered sacrifices up on it. For the offering up of sacrifices is not conditional upon the temple itself being rebuilt. Regarding the Mishnah, which states that the mitzvot of machatzit ha-shekel applies in the presence of the temple, the Mishnah is indicating a period of time. For example, the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel applies only in the temple period, when preparations are being made to rebuild the temple. Machatzit ha-shekel is collected through the temple itself, as yet it is in ruins, while at the same time the initial steps are taken for the rebuilding of the altar, for the offering up of sacrifices, and for the reconstruction of the temple building. The obligation to donate machatzit ha-shekel, even before the rebuilding of the temple has begun, derives from the Torah source of the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel. This they shall give, a half a shekel, measured in the holy shekels, and to give the money of atonement, and you shall give it for the worship of the Ohel Moed. The money is needed for the purposes of erecting the sanctuary and its ritual. In other words, the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel is a preliminary step before the sanctuary is erected. The Talmud Yerushalmim states, regarding machatzit ha-shekel, three contributions are mentioned in this context. The contribution of the sanctuary, for the sanctuary can be of any amount found suitable, and the contribution of the shekelim for the sacrifices can be of any amount found suitable, and the contribution of the foundations for the foundations. The rich may bring no more, and the poor no less. These three contributions in the verse are the basis and the infrastructure for building the sanctuary, and for the offering up of the sacrifices, without which there would be neither sanctuary nor altar worship. At any rate, even at the present time, the mitzvah of machatzit shekel precedes the rebuilding of the temple, and just as in the days of the sanctuary, in its early days of the Second Temple period, the mitzvah of machatzit shekel served to initiate the construction of the temple. So should it be with the building of the Third Temple, may it be built speedily in our days. And may we all say Amen. The first step should be fulfilling of the mitzvah. When the time comes, Hashem willing, the appropriate agency will announce the collection of machatzit shekel, and the appropriate agency is the Mekubalim. The altar will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount, and the Kohanim will begin to offer up sacrifices. While the worship is in progress, the builders will complete the construction of the temple upon its foundations, just as the people of the Second Temple era succeeded in doing. There is another subject that I studied, the half shekel in marriage. The first marriage of which we read in the Torah is the marriage of Adam and Eve. Theirs, of course, was a marriage wholly made in heaven. God himself created the bride, perfumed and bejeweled her, and presented her to the groom. The first instance in which the Torah tells the story of a marriage achieved by human effort is in the chapter that describes the search for a bride for Isaac. Here are detailed the workings of a conventional shidduch, a matchmaker, Abraham's servant Eliezer, an investigation into the prospective bride's family and character, a dowry, the initial encounter between the bride and groom, and so on. The Torah, which often conveys complex laws by means of a single word or letter, devotes no less than 67 verses to the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Many are the details are related twice, first in the Torah's account of their occurrence, and a second time in Eliezer's speech to Rebekah's parents. For here we are being presented with a prototype to guide our own approach to marriage, both in the conventional sense, as the union of two human beings, and in the cosmic sense, as the relationship between God and man. Half of 20. One of the details which the Torah includes in its account is the fact that a ring, a half shekel in weight, was one of the gifts that Eliezer presented to Rebekah at their meeting at the well in Rebekah's hometown of Aram Naharaim. The man took a golden ring, a half shekel in weight, and two bracelets of 10 shekels weight of gold for her hands. And our sages explain that this was an allusion to and the forerunner of the half shekel contributed by each Jew towards the building of the sanctuary, as God instructs Moses in the 30th chapter of Exodus. And we've already read this paragraph above. Why a half shekel? Maimonides writes that, as a rule, everything it is for the sake of God should be of the best and most beautiful. When one builds a house of prayer, it should be more beautiful than his own dwelling. When one feeds the hungry, he should feed him of the best and sweetest of his table. Whenever one designates something in a holy purpose, he should sanctify the finest of his possessions, as it is written, the choicest of God. Indeed, in many cases, Torah law mandates that the object of a mitzvah be betamim, whole. A blemished animal cannot be brought as an offering to God, nor can a blemished etrog be included in the four species taken on the festival of Sukkot. Even when this is not an absolute requirement, the law states that whenever possible, one should strive to fulfill a mitzvah with a whole object. For example, it is preferable to recite a blessing on a whole fruit or on a whole loaf of bread rather than a slice. And that's why we use two whole loaves on Shabbat and festival meals. Why then does the Torah instruct that each child of Israel contribute half a shekel towards the building of a dwelling for God within the camp of Israel, the Israelite camp? The Torah's repeated reference to this contribution as a half shekel is all the more puzzling in light of the fact that in these very same verses, the Torah finds it necessary to clarify that a shekel consists of 20 gerah. In other words, the amount contributed by each Jew as ransom for his soul was 10 gerah. 10 is a number that connotes completeness and perfection. The entire Torah is encapsulated within the 10 utterances. The world was created with 10 divine statements. God relates to his creation via 10 sefirot. And the soul of man, formed in the image of God, is likewise comprised of 10 powers. But instead of instructing to give 10 gerah, the Torah says to give half of a 20 gerah shekel, deliberately avoiding mention of the number 10. And emphasizing the half element of our contribution to the divine dwelling in our midst. The two halves of a soul are separated at birth. For such is the essence of marriage. If each partner approaches the marriage with a sense of his or herself as a complete entity, they will at best achieve only a relationship between two distinct, self-contained lives. But marriage is much more than that. The Kabbalists explain that a husband and wife are the male and female aspects of a single soul, born into two different bodies. For many years, they live separate lives, often at a great distance from each other, and wholly unaware of the other's existence. But divine providence contrives to bring them together again under the wedding canopy and accord them the opportunity to become once again one, not only one in essence, but also one at all levels, in their conscious thoughts and their feelings and in their physical lives. Their marriage is thus more than the union of two individuals. It is the reunion of a half soul, the fusion of two lives originally and intrinsically one. To experience this reunion, each must approach his or her life together, not as 10, but as a half. This half shekel consists of 10 gerah. Each must give their all to the marriage, devoting to it the full array of resources and potentials that they possess. But each must regard him or herself not as a complete being, but as a partner, a part seeking its other part to make it whole again. The sanctuary. The half shekel ring given to Rebekah for her marriage to Isaac was the forerunner of the half shekel contributed by each Jew, each child of Israel, towards the building of the sanctuary, the marital home in the marriage between God and man. The soul of man is a part of God above, a part that descended to a world whose mundanity and materiality conspire to distance it from its supernal source. So even a soul who is in full possession of her 10 powers is still only a part. And even when God fully manifests the 10 attributes of his involvement with his creation, he is still only partly present in our world. It is only when these two parts unite in marriage that their original wholeness and integrity is restored. So to build God a home on earth, we must contribute half of the 20 gerah shekel. We must give ourselves fully to him, devoting the full spectrum of our 10 powers and our 10 potentials to our marriage with him. But even as we achieve the utmost in self-realization in our relationship with God, we must be permeated with a sense of our halfness, with the recognition and appreciation that we, as he, are incomplete without each other. Are there any questions? If you are interested in having me utilize the Kabbalistic ritual on your behalf, send me an email with names or call me so I can discuss the names with you and whatever arrangements are necessary to be made with respect to the $15 donation. Unfortunately, the donation cannot be waived because the half shekel must come from you. Tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 p.m., Wednesday afternoon, we will have a mini Zohar class. At 7 o'clock, questions and answers. These times are West Coast times. Thursday at 4 o'clock, West Coast time, we will have our group in Atlanta teaching class number 11 in the basic series. While at 7 o'clock, West Coast time, will be our connection to Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. We need to take control of this month. Saturday night, we will have a new Zohar class, the first opportunity to connect with the energy of the new week and the Zohar. And at 10:30 Sunday morning, we will begin our teachings and our preparation for the holiday. The holiday of Zion Adar. The holiday of the fast of Esther, the holiday of Purim, and many other connections to the 90-day period leading up to Shavuot. Shalom to all of you. Have a beautiful evening and a beautiful week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.